Sermon for the first Sunday of Lent, March the 13th, 2011, preached at St. Mark's, Portobello. The readings were from Genesis 2, the story of Adam and Eve eating the fruit in the garden, and Matthew 4, the wilderness temptations of Jesus. During the mid-90s, I spent a year teaching English in Tokyo. That year offered me lots of new and unfamiliar experiences. New food, like sushi. New professional status as a teacher. And another new thing, one that's been very much in my mind over the last day or two, was the experience of earthquakes, or at least of tremors. The first time I experienced a tremor, it woke me up during the night. I sensed a fairly gentle rumbling beneath the floor, and the walls shaking, objects moving around on shelves, and one or two toppling onto the floor. The whole thing lasted a few seconds. I didn't fully wake up, and I didn't realise what had happened. I laughed about it with my students the next day. It all seemed quite fun. Fun for them that the gaijin, the foreigner, thought a communal garden tremor was a big deal. And fun for me to be able to add another traveller's tale to my collection. They could only laugh because they knew the difference between a minor earthquake and a major one. Nobody is laughing now, of course. I can hardly imagine anything more terrifying than what the people of Japan have been through in the last couple of days. The pain and shock of so much destruction coming upon you suddenly must be uniquely frightening. Theologians offer their theories as to how it is a good God could permit it. I thought of airing one or two of them with you this morning, but I've decided against it. It's hard to say anything theoretical that doesn't seem an insult to those involved. Those who want to go on thinking about suffering this week should note that Christian reflection in this area has generally started with this morning's Old Testament story of Adam and Eve in the garden. Two views of this story offer alternative bearings for the Christian take on suffering. One looking backwards, one forwards. The backwards-looking view of the story talks about the fall of humanity as a tragedy. The man and woman were created perfect, but they sinned by eating the fruit. Chaos and turmoil followed, not just for human beings themselves, but for the whole cosmos, which but for their act would still be perfect too. No earthquakes, no tsunamis. According to this view, we are striving throughout our lives to regain our lost perfection. The universe continues to be a place of fearful destructiveness and imbalance until we take the way back that God Himself offers us. There's truth in this backwards-looking view of the story about the garden. We do sense a profound connection between what is wrong with the world and what is wrong with us. And we also sense that only God can sort it out. The forwards-looking view of the story concentrates not on the origin of evil in our world, but on the working out through all the twists and turns of our development of a God-given potential. On this view, if there was any fall of humanity, it was a fall upwards. Adam and Eve started out immature. Experience, though it brought pain, also gave them the chance to learn wisdom. As their sons and daughters, we are reaching out not for a return to a perfect past, but to an unknown and glorious future that God is keeping for us. There's truth in this view too. Even our wrong turns and wrong choices can help bring us closer to God. We need never give up. The best is yet to come. Temptation, that is, being tested, has a positive role in spiritual development. Take Jesus. At his baptism, he sees the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove, and a voice calls out, "My Son." This same Spirit then drives him out into the wilderness to be tested by the devil. What is being tested is precisely the experience he has just had at the Jordan. The Father's voice is still ringing in his ears. Can he trust it? "You are famished," says the devil. "If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread." What happens in the wilderness is that Jesus learns to trust. Those 40 days are the crucible of all that he will be and do later on. Only Jesus himself knew what this experience cost him, what it was to find oneself hungry, weak and weary, suddenly face to face with pure evil. He could have lost everything. His mission to the world, himself, God. He knew what he was doing when he later urged his friends to pray, "Lead us not into temptation," or "Do not put us to the test." It's the first week of Lent, the season in which we take on tests. We do this on a voluntary basis to strengthen ourselves for the real tests of our lives, which are mostly involuntary. It's training. We continue with whatever we have chosen to undertake in terms of prayer or service or discipline or learning. And as we do so, who are we to look to as our guide but to the Jesus of today's Gospel? A test can be the making of someone. What was true of Jesus in his earthly life is true of the partners in any marriage, of the members in a family, of the citizens in a nation, of me, of you. Amid the stress of the test, through patience and endurance, and the exercise of a whole host of unfashionable virtues, we learn to rely on God. We learn to trust that vision of the Spirit descending and the voice that calls out, "My child."